Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. This is Security Now with Steve Gibson, episode 303, recorded June 1st, 2011. Password Haystacks. It's time for Security Now, the show that covers your security and privacy online with our guru, our man of the hour, Mr. Steve Gibson of GRC.com, the guy who wrote SpinRite, the world's best hard drive maintenance utility, but also spends a lot of time on security these days and has written many great security tools. Finally, the big reveal. We're going to finally find out about this new password technique.
Okay, so I started to create something based on a theory for how to make guaranteed strong pass codes, as I was calling them. You know, we've talked about we have our the perfect paper passwords is the one-time password system, which I created and is open sourced and published and discussed for and actually being used a lot. If I did a Google the other day for perfect paper passwords, and it's all over the place, and people are actually using it too. You know, they've installed it in servers and they're using it for their own, you know, free one-time password system. For static passwords, we know that we need passwords which are not obvious, not in dictionaries. And in fact, Leo, I did some looking through password dictionaries, and I got a big kick out of the fact that your prior old password, you mentioned it last week, you used to use Monkey.
Yeah, many moons ago.
That's number 14 on the hit parade.
So in other words, it would take a milliseconds to crack my system.
Yeah. The monkey, would be on your back.
Yeah.
The number one most common password is 123456.
Oh, boy. A lot of people
use that. This is from a 35 million user password database that was hacked and escaped from a site. And so this was a statistical analysis of that. The word password is fourth in line. And there's some strange things like Michael is on the list. I don't know. I mean, like tens of thousands of people use Michael as their password.
Probably their name.
But I don't think so. But many more people use Monkey. And if you use your own...
That's my name.
That's number 14. Yeah. So, okay. So we know that passwords have to be... You cannot use passwords which are going to be on a most common list, which the hackers have. Failing that, then they'll use a so-called dictionary attack, literally using a dictionary, often in the language of the user, but sometimes even in foreign languages. You know, the idea being that, you know, they want to find your password. They want to figure out what it is. So trying passwords is the only thing they can do. And that's one of the key things. I mean, we all know that, but it sort of forms one of the pillars of something that I realized that I've never in all these years had occur to me or talked about. And from the reactions that I've had to this, no one has either. So all the attacker can do is check a password and see if it's right or not. Well, I also created the perfect passwords page on GRC, which enforces an SSL connection. It'll only come up under SSL because it's using GRC's very good and fully documented on that page pseudo gibberish generator, pseudo random number generator, to present users with various forms of ultra high entropy text. 63 characters long, for example, is just you're able to copy and paste and drop it into your do you use it as a WPA password to drop it into your Wi-Fi? And, you know, those things are super high entropy and thus very useful for passwords.
And completely unmemorable and untypable.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, I've complained many times that my iPod Touch has never been on my own Wi-Fi network because there's no way I can type in my own WPA password. And so what I realized was that good as that kind of password is, the kind that the Perfect Passwords page gives you, it is not friendly. It's a non-user friendly password. The problem has always been that we've assumed that user friendly passwords, you know, things we could remember, were probably also weak. And what I hit on is that's not necessarily true. What matters when, as soon as the attacker has exhausted all of his lists, common password lists, you know, maybe site-specific likely passwords based on, you know, the site they're trying to hack, or the specific user. You know, you don't want to use your own name as a password because that might be a username also. So so it might be that the bad guy knows something about you. Then they'll fall back to dictionaries. Then maybe dictionaries with a digit tacked on the end, because we know now that some password policies require at least one digit. So, you know, users who don't really, I don't know what it is. They don't think it's ever going to happen to them, or they're just trying to create a throwaway login because they want to post a comment on a blog and this dumb site requires them to create an account in order to do so, you know, whatever. They'll just tack a zero on the end or a one or whatever their favorite digit is. So the bad guys who want to get in will try those tricks too. So there, you know, you can imagine there are things that bad guys could do, attackers, to try to figure out something that the lazy user has done. When all else fails, when all of that fails, they fall back to the traditional, often spoken of, brute force attack. Because we understand how it's possible to create every possible password, first you start with A, then B, then C, then D, and so forth, up through Z, then AA, AB, AC, AD, and so forth up to AZ, then BA, BB, BC, BD, and so on. So it's possible, given time, to run through every possible password. That's why in the past we have chosen passwords that are non-memorable. These horrors, like what you get from the Perfect Passwords page at GRC, because they are just absolutely off the map. They're ultra high entropy, and there's no way to guess what they are. So what this means is that the only vulnerability after your password isn't going to be quickly found in a list is the bad guy trying them all. Trying them all, since they don't know how long your password is, and all the only feedback they get back is yes, that was a match, or no, that wasn't. They, you know, one of the most often seen lies told by Hollywood is is when the cracker, you know, uses some algorithm and one by one determines what the digits of the combination is. Locked in another one.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we all know that isn't the way these things work. If the bad guy guesses wrong, the only information he gets is that wasn't it either, sucker. Try again. And the bad guy can try again. So what occurred to me was that we get our protection from the size of the space that we force the bad guy to search. The larger the space, that is the greater the number of combinations of wrong passwords the attacker has to try during a brute force try everything attack, the greater security we have. So the first thing that says, the most obvious thing that says, is longer is better. The longer it is, the better it is. Because length is one way we know. For example, say that we just had all lowercase. We don't do that, but say that we did, because it makes the math easy for a second. Then every time we add one lowercase letter to lengthen our password, we've made it 26 times harder to attack us, because as we all know from the way binary works and even decimal, it's like you know, if it's easier to think of it in terms of decimal, we just imagine passwords as digits 0 through 9. Every time you add a digit, it's 10 times more of them. We understand well how that works in decimal. The same thing works with alphabets and passwords. So longer clearly extends the password search space. And since the attacker has no feedback as to the length of our particular password, and they're hoping we've done something dumb and used a small one, they start at the low end. They could only start at the short end because nothing sets the upper end. Now, if a site had a policy that limited passwords to 16 characters, sure, the attacker could start with a 16-character password and then work their way down, but they're sort of starting at the hard end. That doesn't make it, you know, at the deep end of the pool rather than the shallow end. So attackers are going to, who are, you know, in a hurry trying, because there are so many of these, they got to do the best job they can. They start at the short end. So long is better. Okay. The other thing we know is that making the alphabet as large as possible is also important. I use the example, for example, of just decimal. That's like the worst you could possibly do would be a digits only password, because each character only makes it 10 times stronger. Whereas, for example, if it was lowercase, each character makes it 26 times stronger because you've got an alphabet of 26. But if you put in even just one uppercase character, suddenly now it's radically stronger, because the alphabet is lowercase 26 plus uppercase 26, which is to say, by putting in an uppercase character, you have made the attacker use brute forcing that includes uppercase. Now think about that for a second. Again, the attacker is going to be as smart as, you know, infinitely smart. We'll give them that. They are the smartest password cracker ever born. So one of the other things they know is that 46, I can't remember the exact number, I think it's 46.67% of all passwords are all lowercase alphabetic. That's a true statistic. 46.67%. All lowercase alpha. So the smart password cracker says, well, if he's going to make me brute force, because I haven't been able to discover it so far, and if I'm going to have to try all passwords, I'm first going to try all lowercase passwords, because the search is much smaller because the alphabet is only 26 characters. So the bad guy can search some ways out in length using all lowercase, and 46.67% of the time, that's where the unwise password will live. Even if it's long, it's still going to be there. So the bad guy is going to try that first before trying any passwords that have uppercase in them or digits in them or symbols, you know, special characters like exclamation point, pound sign, so forth. So the other rule of this make the search as bad as possible, as hard as possible, in addition to length, which clearly lengthens the search, is you absolutely want to use at least one uppercase, one lowercase, one digit, and one symbol. Because what you've then done is you've moved your password out of any of the abbreviated searches. Those will all happen first if the attacker is infinitely smart. Finally, with all of those having failed out to whatever length this guy was searching, we'll have to start brute forcing passwords containing one of each type of symbol, which is the last thing the bad guy wants to do. Okay. What hit me like a thunderbolt was the password. And on the page where I've documented this, I show I think it maybe had been 23 characters of random gibberish that I did get from my own Perfect Passwords page. I just snipped a chunk out. Compared to the password capital D, number 0, lowercase g, and 21 dots.
21 dots? What kind of password's that?
It's stronger than the first one.
Wow. That's really interesting.
And isn't that cool? What hit me was entropy doesn't matter. You have to have some. You've got to have enough so that you're not like just all dots. That would be bad.
But what you're really saying is that length trumps entropy in a way.
Yeah, as they always said, size matters.
Size matters.
Size does matter. And yes, that's exactly right. Length matters radically more than a password's entropy. As long as your password is not in a dictionary or in a list, then the only way to attack it is brute force. And brute force, trying everything, only gets yes or no. It's either it didn't work or it did.
It doesn't give him a clue, unlike the movies,
yes,
as to what's next.
He doesn't know you have 21 dots after the word D, capital D, number 0, lowercase g.
In fact, he might even know you use dots, but he has to know 20 won't work. 22 correct. Won't work.
Correct. It's got to be an exact match. Now, I am not suggesting that people use dots, nor am I suggesting that it be as simple as that. For example, you could put some dots in, some somethings in front, some somethings in the middle, some somethings afterwards. Or, and here's what I would encourage people to do is invent your own scheme.
Have a pattern that's memorable. It's okay, right?
Well, and Leo, I immediately changed my WPA Wi-Fi password. You can now our listeners can imagine what it kind of looks like,
right.
Except it doesn't matter if you can imagine what it looks like because there's no way to tell. The only attack that we know of against WPA is an offline brute force attack, trying them all until you get a packet that has clearly been decrypted.
So I'm just looking at your brute force cracker, and monkey in the worst case scenario would be cracked at 0.00000321 seconds.
Yeah, we should tell our listeners that there is a new service,
this is such a good service. I love it.
Yep. At GRC. You can find it from the main menu under services. I called it Password Haystacks because this is all about hiding your needle in a large haystack. And so what the page does, which is just grc.com/haystack.htm, but if you leave off the .htm, it'll put it on for you. It's a cool little real-time client-side calculator I wrote in JavaScript, which you can play with. You can put passwords of various constructions in. And what this does is this is not a password strength meter. That is, if you put in monkey, we know that's 14th most common. So that won't survive, a second or two.
But even with brute force, it's pretty quickly.
Even with brute force, it's all lowercase and it's not very long.
Right. But if I add, 10 dots, it suddenly becomes centuries. Thousands of centuries to crack.
Yes.
Now, 10 dots, somebody might guess.
Yes. If dots became popular, bad guys would start trying dots.
You know, I thought, I'll just put happy faces. But then I realized, that's a little too ordered.
Yeah. I would be creative. Use some, maybe how about start with an open bracket, then a couple dashes, then, something. But the point is, as you said, Leo, you can even take a simple word, a dictionary word will no longer be found if it's padded. And that's what I call this. I call this password padding because this notion is padding a password that is already good enough makes it unbreakable and leaves it memorable. You can invent your own padding methodology. Don't tell anybody. And so that's one of the weaknesses is, somebody could see it and go, wow, that's cool. But look, one glance at it and they would be able to memorize it. Unlike one of the nightmare, you know, high entropy passwords, this is actually a low entropy password, but it exists in a massive search space, so it cannot be found within the lifetime of the universe if it's sufficiently long. And in fact, this little haystack page shows you, makes assumptions, three different types of attack. An online attack, assuming 1,000 attempts per second.
Which is pretty fast, but still.
Which is, yeah. I wanted to worst case it. It's probably more like 10 or maybe 100 if you had multiple. If there wasn't a lockout policy, and if you had multiple, like, you know, instances all trying to guess the password at the same time. And then an offline attack is the one we were talking about, for example, with a WPA password, where you get some data of some sort and you sit there trying to crack it, trying all possible ones. Or like, for example, you know, we talked about LastPass. The concern there was that users may have had weak master passwords to protect their LastPass database. Now we know it is there. Because your password is hashed locally, you can use one of these large haystack passwords, or a padded password, as I call it, to come up with something that is incredibly robust. I mean, cannot be cracked. You got to go to grc.com/haystack and play around with this, because as you saw, Leo, as long as you've got uppercase, lowercase, alpha, and a symbol, you'll probably have plenty of symbols because you'll probably pad them with symbols, but you don't have to. You could also pad them with zeros or 10101. I mean, you know, you want to invent your own thing.
Right.
And then you are really safe. You've got the best of both worlds.
I'm going to bring up two possible problems.
Okay.
One, we mentioned this also. Remember we talked about that page, the year-old page where the guy said, dogs are fun is better than a random password, and we kind of debunked that. But one of the things that was a problem in general with this stuff is if somebody's looking over your shoulder and they see you going dot, 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 or whatever it is, they might be able to guess that pattern. More significant, if you use the same pattern on multiple sites, that's a concern, isn't it? Because your pattern might be guessed.
Yes. It's why I still have one more trick up my sleeve that I mentioned at the top of the show.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
So I would, for example, you wouldn't want to write down what your padding methodology is. You know what it is. The point of it is you can memorize it. It's easy. It's something you invented, and you add it to passwords yourself. But the reason I gave specifically the example of WPA and LastPass is there is no way to compromise the password other than by brute force. That is, it's hashed in your browser or it's in your router. But as you said, Leo, if a malicious site, well, for example, wasn't storing hashed passwords, if they were storing the password in plain text, and if they lost control of their database, as we know happens too often, then a bad guy could see your username, which might be your email address, and a low entropy, although unbreakable by brute force, they'd be looking at the plain text and go, oh, well, I see how this guy forms his passwords,
right,
and then go try to log on as you elsewhere. So you still need to have a password which is changing from one site to the other. So our longstanding advice about not reusing passwords on multiple sites stands. But the idea is you can take any good password and make it great. I mean, make it unbreakable from any kind of offline attack. And there is no downside to your use with this kind of password with a WPA Wi-Fi or LastPass where it's hashing locally.
Good point. Yeah. I still use SuperGenPass, which is a JavaScript-based hashing algorithm. It takes a master password hashes it with your domain name that you're on and creates I think it's a 10-character password. But what I've been doing unconsciously is exactly what you suggest here, which is padding it with four more easily memorable digits, in effect a PIN. So I have a unique password for every site. I have a recognizable, memorable pattern that I add to it. And those extra four digits give me a 14-digit password that is mixed characters, upper and lower, and numbers. And it's easy for me to recreate the password. But even if you knew my Super Gen Master password, you wouldn't know that I always add these. Well, now you do. You wouldn't know that I always add these digits to it.
Exactly.
So that's the kind of thing you're talking about.
Yes. Well, yeah. And with WPA, we as far as we know, and it's been looked at very, very closely, there is no attack against it other than brute force. That right. is the only attack against right. WPA. And so what struck me is that so long as you're not worried about what, you know, your scheme getting loose, and there's no way for it to get loose from WPA or LastPass because that's all being done with you locally. You know, there's some concern if you do this for logins on the net because unfortunately our browsers are not hashing our passwords for us before they leave. That would be really cool if sites began hashing locally and so the remote server never had that, but you know that's not the way things work today. So the downside is the lack of entropy on a long password that is a padded password does, if someone sees it or arranges to see it somehow, but it betrays the scheme. But given that that an attacker is only doing brute force, a site is hashing passwords, for example. It buys you huge amount of strength for at very little cost.
Do rainbow tables help or anything like that?
No. The rainbow tables are useful, for example, up to a certain size. But again, if you look at grc.com/haystack, I sound like Dvorak.
you do.
If you look at that page, play with it a bit, and you'll see with a deep, what I call a deep alphabet, meaning at least one of each type of characters, so that the brute forcer is forced out of any of the quicker searches. That's an alphabet of 95 characters, and every character you add makes it 95 times more difficult, which may not sound like a lot, but that's why I show the exact number. And then I showed as a power of 10, and then I do the division for the user, dividing by 1,000 attacks per second, and what, 100 billion attacks per second, and 100 trillion attacks per second. Now, 100 billion may seem far fetched, except that I just increased it because there was a page I found. Actually, it was Simon again who pointed me to it. A security researcher has used AMD GPUs and built a homebrew setup that is cracking passwords at 33 billion per second.
Wow. So, but now they have to have access to the password data in a lump at that point.
Yes, that's got to be an offline password.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so,
but that happens. Look what happened at the PlayStation Network. The Sony password database was hacked and downloaded. And now the attacker has, at their leisure, the time to do this massive brute force attack.
So 100 billion passwords per second is only three times what is currently exists right now.
Mm.
And the reason I did the 100 trillion is imagine, you know, the NSA. Probably the reason, if there's a graphics card shortage, you know who bought them all. So I wanted a really worst case, the performance of offline hacking of and brute forcing to create a calculator that people could use to give them a real world sense for how strong this is. But again, Leo, if it's long and it's not, if it's long and you force them into a brute force, which any long password will, because by definition that won't be in a table, the only way they can get it is by looking, by trying them all.
And ironically, you're padding. Here's a, I put a random password, a 10-character random password in here, which is just numbers, upper and lowercase letters. 2.37 hours in that massive cracking array scenario. But if I add 123456, that very commonly known password, 1.54 hundred thousand centuries.
Yes.
And so even, and you can remember 123456, the point being that, yes, by itself that would be a crappy password, but by adding that to a generated password, you're adding a huge amount of security.
Exactly.
Simply even by adding length.
Even though it's low entropy.
It's entropy free.
Length matters.
Length matters. What an interesting thing. So everybody then, the takeaway from this would be, so somebody asked in the chat room, well, Steve, you should write a program to do this. No, you don't need a program to do this. This is the whole point.
Yes, exactly.
Everybody should, in their mind, come up with whatever pattern they could remember and they could use, and then just tag that onto everything that you create.
Yeah.
And it's simple. So we're not saying use that pattern as your sole password. That is important.
Correct.
Otherwise.
Correct. And so, for example, my WPA password, which, and I'm so happy, my iPod Touch is now on my Wi-Fi network.
I mean,
and you know, guests can come over, and I can say, oh yeah, you know, I mean, I now have a password that I can type in. It's a miracle.
Yay!
And it's just as strong as that nightmare that I used to have.
So how did you generate that password? Did you generate a good, short, good password and then tag this pattern that you've invented onto it? Or did you not even, I mean, in other words, you still need a base that's unique.
Well,
not for really, WPA, you don't.
You really don't.
Not for WPA, you don't.
Let's say, for example, open bracket, 10 dashes.
Right.
And then something and 10 more dashes and something else and 10 dashes.
That's,
and then
that's long.
Close bracket.
That's as good as your 64-character password, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because even though WPA accepts 63 characters, it hashes it down to many fewer bits.
Oh, okay.
Which means that all those passwords are not technically
different.
Unique.
Right.
There'll be many collisions within the SHA hash which WPA uses.
So you could make your password be bracket dash 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 password bracket dash dash dash, and that would
be dash 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 bracket close bracket.
Yeah, that would be a nice long password and
yes,
easy to remember. Very little entropy there, but very hard to brute force.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, will people start searching for patterns once this becomes widely used?
The only thing that could be done, the problem is there is, I'm not going to say infinite number of patterns, but
there's,
you know, people are very clever.
Yeah.
You know, we've also got /\, so you can make little teepees.
Right. But that's why we don't use smileys or any kind of pattern.
Yeah. Again, it's got to be exact. So,
right.
So we have during this podcast, we have massively expanded what an attacker would have to do before trying everything. The problem is it's truly a massive expansion because all we've said is make it longer. You could put it in the beginning, in the middle, in the end. You can put anything you want in the beginning, the middle, the end. Or as I did for my own WPA, you know, put a couple special things spaced out among some other numbers of something else, and no one's going to find it. There's just too much uncertainty there. And the only way to find it is try them all. And grc.com/haystack will just show you exactly how many you've created. And what's surprising is that they do add up so fast. As you said, Leo, just adding 123456, the most common password in the world, hugely strengthens a password that could otherwise be broken in with a massive array in an hour or two.
Yeah.
Now it's trillions of centuries.
Yep. Very effective. Really cool. And a great insight. And that's why I love this show. So if you can't remember the URL, if you go to grc.com, surely you can remember that. It's in the services menu, password haystacks. Just go to there. Actually, while you're there, you should browse around. There's so much great stuff. There's, of course, the Security Now podcast, and there's 303 of them now, including 16 kilobit versions for the bandwidth impaired, full transcripts too for those who like to read. A lot of people in the chat room have been asking about passwords in general and LastPass specifically. This is a great time to go back in time at that website. You can read the transcripts of Steve's discussion of LastPass, Steve's discussion of passwords, and it's just a great resource for learning. Of course, he also offers a lot of other great free tools, including the Haystack. It's all at grc.com. And while you're there, please buy Shields Up. I mean, SpinRite. Don't buy Shields Up. It's free. Please buy SpinRite, the world's best hard drive maintenance and recovery utility. You want this thing. If you've got a hard drive, you need SpinRite. And it, you know, keeps Steve in Quinti Venti lattes.
Well, it allows me the opportunity to come up with these kinds of things.
Yeah, exactly.
It gives me the chance to think about this. And I've got one more idea. I don't know how it's going to work out. I've got to do some cryptanalysis, believe it or not. But so, it doesn't obsolete this. This is good in the meantime. But this journey has opened up some other ideas. So I'm not going to tease everybody. I don't know when it's going to be. But we'll have a Q&A next week, and I'm sure some great content the week after. I got one more thing, I think, up my sleeve.
Oh, there was more than one more thing up Steve Gibson's sleeve. I can guarantee you that. Steve's on Twitter at SGGRC. You might want to follow him there. And, of course, we do this show every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1800 UTC at live.twit.tv. So you can watch us do it live if you want to get the latest, freshest version. But if you miss it, hey, and I understand people actually have jobs and things like that, you can always catch it later at twit.tv/SN or on Steve's site, grc.com. Steve, thanks so much. This is great.
Thanks, Sam.
I'm going to go out and change all my passwords.
Talk to you next week.
See you next time on Security Now.
Security Now.